Chapter number three, we have spent a little time in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, not on this specific text, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. The song that Debbie led us in, no longer a slave to fear, I'm a child of God. No longer. So much is important with this thing of who you were before you got saved, and who you are now, that you're a child of God. What is the difference there? Well, my hair didn't change. Well, maybe some of it fell out more so. Didn't gain any weight or lose weight after I got saved necessarily. Didn't get any taller or shorter. You know, what really changed? Everything on the inside. I mean, all the fear, the anxiety, the not being able to wrap your mind around what was going to happen to you. God took all that away and removed the fetters, removed the chains, took you out of bondage and set your feet on a rock. And he's your cornerstone. So that's a great song. I'm a child of God. Well, what's the difference? I'm no longer in fear. No longer do I worry about my eternity. It's settled. The old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. Yes, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's all stand out of respect of God's word. And for those of you who'd like to read along with us out loud, if not silently in your copy of God's word, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Ready? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now look at that last part of that verse. Who does the changing in us? The Spirit. Spirit does it. It's not a self-help book. It's not a close friend, although they can sure help and they can direct you and guide you and be there, but they cannot replace the Holy Spirit. Nothing can replace what God has given you. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you have been freed from bondage. Anything you do to try to fill in what the Spirit is, you're going to put yourself back in chains, back in bondage. So the Spirit is there to take you from where you are right now into the glorious presence of the Lord, not in heaven. Because when you get there, you will be there. He is to do that right on earth as it is in heaven. So we're supposed to be in touch with that Spirit. We're supposed to link up. We're supposed to unite. The Holy Spirit has done a great work in your life already. The moment you got saved, that was the beginning. But, oh, that was just the beginning. Now we can bring ourselves, with the help of the Holy Spirit, into a new way of life. And here's what it is. It's walking in liberty. Walking in liberty. The liberty of the Holy Spirit is what we want to talk today. I want to live more free to live in Christ. I want to enjoy more of what God has in my salvation, in my relationships. I need God's help more, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And today, I hope you walk away in a little while here being happy and feeling more free in spirit. All right? That's what my prayer would be, that you learn to understand the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for this truth. It is sure helping me, and I know that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, and he sustains us. And for all of us, Lord, who are praying for miracles in our lives, in our families, in our church, Lord, it really is important to link up with the Holy Spirit. We oftentimes live without it. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for quenching the mighty power of God. Forgive us as we grieve you with our doubt. Forgive us that we do not live and walk in the Spirit, that we do not pray in the Spirit, that we do not read the Scripture in the Spirit and pray. And dear God, forgive us that we don't walk in the liberty wherewith we have been set free. So teach us this today, Lord. And for those who already know, remind us, because that's what you do also. So I pray that we understand this important truth, and may it change our lives and our church and our families. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn up the speed dial on your listening. You have any of those in, right? Okay, turn up your speed dial. I've got to give you an introduction, and the introduction normally would take longer than the time I've got, so I'm going to need you to listen quickly. I don't know how to do that necessarily, but let's try, okay? With God's help, I'm going to try to be your teacher preacher today. In order to preach the good news of the gospel, I've got to teach you something first. You probably already know, but I just feel compelled that I have to remind us of this so that we'll catch this truth. The truth that we have God, by way of the Spirit, living in us is transformational. It is transformational. If you attempt to live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be powerless. You will run and grow weary. You will walk and then you will faint. You will become discouraged and depressed, and you will not have the joy of the Lord if you ignore this today. The Bible teaches us that mankind is a threefold being. We are spirit, soul, and body. When God formed man out of the dust of the earth, he was just an empty clay vessel. And then the Bible says God breathed into him the breath of life. He breathed into man his spirit. And then the Bible says man became a living soul. We know that's true, right? We understand that, all right? God created man is in his own image. And though God is a spirit, he is manifested in three different beings. One God, one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit. So we know that. Jesus said in the Spirit, he said, I and the Father are one. We see in Genesis 2 and 3 how God created us. So first of all, God gave man a God consciousness. God breathed into man the breath of life, and automatically Adam had a love for God. Adam walked and talked with God every day of the day, in the morning and the afternoon and the evening. He had now a God consciousness. Adam could commune with God, and God commune with Adam, and how wonderful was that, right? Can you only imagine? I mean, I imagine it was Adam who wrote that song, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he knows that that I am his own, because in the garden he does it every day. And that's where that comes from. So God consciousness. Man is different than an animal. An animal has no spirit. An animal has no way to communicate by way of the God spirit in man that we have. All right? What's the second thing God gave? God gave man a self consciousness. A self-consciousness. He now has a soul, the seat of emotion, intellect. He has the ability to look within himself and come to conclusions about himself. A self-consciousness. So, man has a God consciousness about God and has the ability to communicate with God in the garden. And then he also knew and about himself. And he knew that something in his soul was missing. He needed a soul mate. So God created a woman. And therein came the first invention, which was the loudspeaker. Those of you who aren't laughing, you didn't understand. He gave man a God consciousness. He gave him a self-consciousness. And then he made him aware of his surroundings. God taught Adam how to name all the animals, all the plants, all of those. There are names of plants and animals that go back farther than history can record them. Why? Because they started with Adam. Adam's the one, God gave him this incredible intellect to give the animals these names. And those names, many folks says, we don't know where it started, but it went all the way back as far as we can go. We do know where it started. That was Adam's job, to keep and care for the garden of God. So God gave Adam a earthly consciousness. He gave him a God consciousness, a self-consciousness, and an earthly consciousness. Now, how did he have the earthly consciousness? With his eyes, with his ears, with his mouth. In other words, his body. So God made him a threefold person. He had a spirit, he had a soul, and he had a body. And there he was in the Garden of Eden. So we understand that we are three different levels. We have three different levels of consciousnesses. The spirit of God, the spirit to God, the soul to the self, and the body to the world. This is how God created Adam, and it was good, the Bible says. And it was good. Adam loved and fellowshipped and served God perfectly until somebody else showed up in the garden. And who was that? Satan. All right? And we know that he got Adam and Eve to question the very word of God. Same thing he does to you and me, to question God's word. So Adam and Eve sinned. And at that very moment, at the very moment, Adam's spirit died. His God consciousness died. And for the first time, Adam felt fear. Adam felt shame. For the first time, he didn't know what to do. And so therefore, the Bible says they went and they hid. And that's what sin does to all of us. It makes us hide from God, who's the one who can help us, who will help us, who will forgive us. But sin says, don't do it. God's mean. God's going to judge you. And Satan's a liar, always has been, always will be. At the very moment that Adam sinned, his spirit died. The day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And of course, Satan says, no, God didn't mean what he said. Look, you're alive. Satan was talking about the body. God was talking about the spirit. Sin cannot coexist with a holy God, so God had to take Adam and Eve out of the garden and put a centurion angel there with a flaming sword. In Adam, all of us have died also. Wherefore is by one man sin, the Bible says, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5:12. We know that we have a sinful nature. Why? Because we've inherited it from Adam. And because of that sinful nature, before you got saved, you had no God consciousness. Otherwise, you would have gotten saved. Who really knows about the love of God, believes the love of God, believes Jesus is all that the love of God entails, and turns their face from that? Nobody. But for those who do not know him, the Bible says they are the natural man. And the natural man receives not the things of God. Why? Because their spirit is dead. They are without the consciousness of knowing the love of God. Oh, but God had a plan, didn't he? God has a wonderful plan that somebody would die for the sins of mankind and therefore make a way for the Holy Spirit to come into that person who receives the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So you can have your spirit made alive according to the scriptures as the Holy Spirit regenerates or empowers your dead spirit as you receive Jesus Christ and the door is opened and the Holy Spirit comes in, and once he does, you are alive in Christ. How many of you have been born again? All right? That means you have new life inside of you. That's what happens when a baby's born. You got new life. You got another mouth to feed. You got other things to change. Amen? God bless you. The only person in the church that loves to change is the babies. When you come to Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he lived sinless, died vicariously, and rose victorious, then the Holy Spirit of God comes into your spirit and makes it alive. We are alive in Christ today. But we still got a problem. Two-thirds of our being still need help. When you got saved, how many of you automatically, the day you got saved, noticed a bunch of more money in your bank account? No. The day you got saved, your arthritis was gone. Now, that is possible. The day you got saved, no physical health problems, right? The day you got saved, from that day on, all your relationships were perfect. Everybody was your soul brother. Everybody was your soul mate. No. So the soul and the body didn't change. Spirit changed, but the soul didn't change, and the body didn't change. So we've got two-thirds of our being which wrestles against the one-third. And that's why Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we understand that in our spirit is what's being attacked. And that's how Satan fighting against God is warring in our very members, the Bible says. God did not give us a new soul or a new body, but he did give us the Holy Spirit to help us in our soul and to help us in our body. And praise God, we need that help. That's why some of the most spiritual people you ever met or you will ever meet have afflicted bodies. They're not depending on their physical nature to bring them joy. They've realized that their body is just decay, it's corruption, but that which is on the inside, the Spirit of God, is incorruptible. So they've gotten such a good touch with the Holy Spirit that they rarely complain about the body. Now, that's hard to do. They're far more spiritual than me. I get a little hangnail. Oh, I'm a crybaby. I stub my toe. Oh, I'm a crybaby. But some spiritual people that I know, even some in our church, who suffer and suffer and suffer, are some of the greatest saints of God. Why? Because they have a healthy spirit. So we have a problem. In our text, and again, I will not have ample time yet to go over all this, we find out in verse 17 that in the Old Testament, Moses removed his veil when entering the Lord's presence. Exodus chapter 34, verse 34, excuse me. The Lord who mediated the old covenant is the same Lord who established the new covenant. And it's the Holy Spirit who today is the personal agent of Christ. And though we have a veil over us that keeps us from understanding, seeing, and having a consciousness with God, what happens when we get saved is that veil is removed and the Spirit says, aha, I'm here. And he starts making alive and starts bringing you understanding. You wonder why before you got saved you read the Bible and you didn't understand any of it. Now you read the Bible, I don't understand all of it, but by golly, I understand a little bit of it. The Holy Spirit is turning the light on. He's illuminating things. He's showing you things about yourself. He's showing you things about Christ. He's showing you things about the Father. And it's a beautiful walk that you have with the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides and comforts and helps and convicts. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing, and it's illustrated here in our text. A major result of Christ dying on the cross in the New Testament is to do this, to set at free all the captives. Do you realize, whether you believe it symbolically or personally, because this will always be a theological debate, after Jesus died on the cross, Pastor, we find out that somehow he freed all the captives in Sheol. What is all that about, Pastor? Well, people have their different ideas. Basically, he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Nobody has to die anymore. Nobody has to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Does God want everybody saved? Does the church want everybody saved? If that's what we want to do, then that's what we will do. So we understand that Jesus led captivity captive. He led those people who were bound, those people who were religious but lost. He gave them the opportunity to believe through the power of the resurrected Christ. We have something the Muslims do not have. We have something the Buddhists do not have. We have a Jesus who's alive. He's not in the ground. There's no bones down here. He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. And it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us that. In Galatians chapter 4, we learn about the new covenant of Christ, which sets us free, and once we have it, we are free indeed. What a wonderful statement. Now, nobody is free from a penalty if they've never really came to the conclusion that they deserve to die. Did you realize nobody ever gets saved who thinks that they don't need to get saved? Nobody has ever gotten saved until they realize, first, I'm lost. It's a very dangerous thing for you to jump into the water to try to save somebody who's drowning. Because in their panic, they could drown you. There's a very danger in trying to win somebody to Christ who doesn't want to get saved. They will kick and scream and holler, and they may be physically stronger than you or potentially more aggressive than you are. Be very careful. In order to win people to Christ and get them towards a spiritual walk with God, you need the power of the Spirit. It's a spiritual battle. You understand that, right? The Spirit is there to help you. In Romans 8:17, the Bible says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Excuse me, verse 21. The glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty of the children of God. What is this glorious liberty? We know that when we are saved, we're forgiven of all of our sins. They do not have to bind us. You don't have to be controlled anymore by fear. You do not have to allow the sins that plagued you before. Now, your body is still, it is still, you're still human. You're going to be have the tendency, that's why you're supposed to pray, that you enter not into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is. Even after you get saved, you got the same old weak flesh. But there's a power that's available for the Christian to walk in this wonderful liberty. What is liberty? I know I'm going fast here. I just need to, because I got some good stuff we want to get to, and I only have a few minutes. Liberty. What is liberty? Liberty is the right and power to act. The right and power to believe. The right and the power to express yourself in a manner of your choosing. If you have been set at liberty, somebody, something has given you the power to make better choices. Somebody has moved in and said, I will prop you up. I will comfort, guide, lead, teach, help you. I want to be there for you when you're tempted. I will tell you by way of my little gentle pricking conviction, don't you do that. That's not nice. And the Holy Spirit has a wonderful responsibility inside of us to help us become conformed into the image of Christ. And can I tell you, Jesus is perfect. You and I are never going to get there on this earth. But the Holy Spirit has a big job to do in my life. He has a big job to do in your life. And as you yield to that, you learn to walk in liberty. Now, what happens if you get in your car and you drive 110 miles an hour down State Route 41? Good chance, before you get to Brooksville, you're going to get pulled over. If you drive the other way, good chance before you get to Tampa or anywhere close to there, you're going to get pulled over. Why? And the police officer stops you and said, may I see your driver's license and registration? And you say, why? He says, ma'am or sir, may I see your driver's license? Well, I don't want to give you that because I wasn't doing anything wrong. In my eyes, I can do whatever I want to do. This is a free country. Another patrol car, please. Another patrol car comes all of a sudden. Step out of the vehicle, ma'am or sir. What's wrong? Please step out, spread your legs, sir. What did I do? You're claiming liberty for something that you really don't have liberty to do. Just because we live in a free country, does it mean that every single citizen can do anything and everything that they want to do? So liberty isn't about being able to do everything you want to do. Liberty is about having a choice. Do you realize that every communist nation that is in this world today do not give their people a choice on what to do? Now you say, but they can break the law too. Oh, yes, they can. And they will be killed for so many offenses that we here would just be giving a fine. They don't have liberty in communist and socialistic countries to travel from one part of the state to the next part of the state without permission from the state. You understand that? Why? Because there's no liberty there. They're not free. They're not free citizens. But as Christians, we are free citizens, not to break all the laws, but to live in such a way to enjoy the freedom that we have. Let me break it down for you this way. Number one, liberty comes with the Holy Spirit. If you still have your text there, read it. If you still have it, if you don't, listen to me. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, where is liberty? In the Spirit. Where's the Spirit? In me. Whose liberty is it? The Spirit's liberty. See, we take this the wrong way. There are Christians who think that because they believe in salvation by grace through faith in Lord Jesus Christ, that they can do anything, say anything, act any way they want to, and God's pleased with them. How many think that's true? No way. Okay, so you're better than everybody else. Really? How many of you have children? In your home, did you allow them to do anything they wanted to do, say anything they wanted to say? No. But wait a minute, this is a free country. Wasn't your home a beautiful example of freedom? Isn't your home a beautiful? Yeah. Oh, there's still rules? There's still things? Yes, there is. And living within those will help them enjoy the freedom. Did you get that? So I think the mistake is we think sometimes because we are Christians, we have the liberty to choose to do whatever we want to. If you want to accept that, that's up to you. But the liberty is not in your hands. The liberty is in the Holy Spirit's hands. In other words, when the Holy Spirit came to live and come inside of you when you were saved, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? When he came in, he brought with him liberty. And you will experience it, and you will love it, and you will enjoy it, and it'll change your life if you rest in the Spirit. If you ignore the Spirit, you don't get the liberty. Why? Because the liberty's in him. Did you get that? Does an American have the same liberty in Canada as they have in America? Yes or no? No. Do we have the same liberty in France as we do in America? No other country. Why? Because we're citizens of this country. You have to be in America to enjoy the freedoms that America has purchased for you. When Jesus Christ purchased your salvation and gave you the Holy Spirit, listen, the liberty is in the Spirit. It's the Spirit's liberty. So you want to ignore the Spirit, you don't get the benefits. You want to have all the fruits of the Spirit, but you want to ignore the Spirit. You want to have joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and you want everybody to treat you that way, but you want to walk in the flesh, you will not experience the joy that God has for you in your life. Why? Because it's not your liberty, it's the liberty of the Holy Spirit. And we take too much for ourselves. That's how we are. We're greedy. I think it's the main problem in our nation today is greed, and it's destroying our nation in every way. We have a beautiful thing. The freedom is there. Where the Spirit is, there is the liberty. Wow, what a declaration. So if you feel trapped, or if you feel hemmed in, if you feel bound up in this Christianity religion, well, God doesn't want me to be drunk, and God doesn't want me to curse, and God doesn't want me to treat my neighbor, and people hurt me, and I think I ought to have a right to do unto them as they did unto me, and I think I ought to have a right to do this and do that. No wonder you're miserable. You're living according to the flesh. You are not walking according to the Spirit. And guess who you're binding up? Yourself. You're putting the fetters right back on, just like you were before you got saved. All the bondage you had then was to keep you from Christ. Now, the Holy Spirit wants to set you free so you can walk in liberty with the Holy Spirit. Liberty comes with the Holy Spirit. Some Christians become codependent. They're trying to live for two masters. And we understand this from Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Somebody's taken a loss. And usually with us, we choose our flesh over our spirit. And our flesh becomes our master. Something has you in bondage. In Galatians 5, the Judaizers were playing God and wanting to add circumcision to faith. And Paul said, then Christ will be of no effect to you, no benefit to you. Then are you, and listen, this is a phrase that's been taken out of context by so many, then are you fallen from grace, verse number 4. Really? Fallen from grace? Does that mean now, because I want to add circumcision to my religion of faith, that I cannot be saved? No, if you are already a child of God, you are a child of God. But what in the world was Paul saying, fallen from grace? What he was saying was they lose their freedom to enjoy the liberty that's already been given unto them. Listen, when you got saved, it was plus or minus nothing but Jesus Christ and his grace. See, grace is unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. Anybody earn their way to salvation? Anybody? You do enough Hail Marys? You feed the poor enough in order? Jesus said, stop feeding so many people. You've done so much. Stop it. Don't you be loving people so much. You've already surpassed where you're supposed to love them. No. Grace is unmerited favor. So God gave it to you even when you didn't deserve it. So how do you lose your salvation if you didn't buy it? If you didn't gain it for yourself, how do you lose it? You cannot. You're kept by the Holy Spirit of God. So now walk ye in him. And then you will know the liberty of the Spirit. You will understand, listen, a child who loves mom and dad, they don't want to disappoint mom and dad. So they walk in the liberty of the love that mom and dad has for them. And then when they have a bad day, spout off to dad and mom like they shouldn't, hurt mom or dad's feelings, they feel so bad, they come back and they say, Mom, would you forgive me? Dad, will you forgive me? The fellowship is restored. What a beautiful thing. Now you can walk in the home without tiptoeing around dad because you made him mad. Anybody listen to me this morning? Anybody here today? The liberty by which we've been set free by the Holy Spirit is not a bondage to us. It helps us to free roam in our spiritual world. It gives us the opportunity to travel to here and to there, and it's a wonderful thing. You don't have to feel like, oh my goodness, if I say the wrong thing, God's going to hit me over the head. Oh my goodness, if I don't just do everything perfect. God knows we're not perfect, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to remind us. And so we're supposed to walk in him. That's where the Holy Spirit is. Number two, liberty comes with boundaries. Boy, we don't like boundaries. But we sure like to be safe, so we wear a seatbelt. A seatbelt is a restriction, right? But if you've seen any of those pictures, any of those videos, any of those movies, or if you've been down to the target and you saw the car that flips over and the dummy comes flying out because he didn't have it, and you and I are the dummy who would drive without if somebody hits you. I mean, we understand that it's a restriction, but is it there for our harm or is it there for our good? So the Holy Spirit says, fasten your seatbelt. We're going to go on a ride. And your body isn't going to always like this place we go, that place we go, and it's going to feel a little bit tethered at time, and it's going to feel a little tight, and it's going to wrinkle your shirt. I'll tell you honestly, I'm so selfish. That's how I feel. I don't like the stupid thing. Sometimes I hold it out away from me because it's wrinkling my shirt. That's how we are. Okay, that's how the pastor is. You may not be that way. That's how I am. But what's more important, saving your life or wrinkling your shirt? Now, that's a silly illustration, I know. But the truth of the matter is, so many Christians don't understand. God's not putting any boundaries upon you. Listen, that Jesus didn't subject himself to when he was on this earth. He suffered like passions as we are, yet he didn't sin. Now, we're never going to be Christ-like like that. But we can learn to appreciate the boundaries. We can learn to appreciate what Christ died for. Freedom means that God has liberated us to fulfill his purpose in our life. That's why he saved us. God has freed us up to live his way, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that's not 70 and older, by the way. Listen to this. Romans 8 explains it all. And I don't have time to go into this with you today, but Romans 8 tells us that there is temporary suffering, and he even calls it light affliction, so that you can get glory out of this earthly life. Now, there are sometimes, I admit, some days aren't very good days. Anybody ever had bad days? Yeah, you have them, I have them, we all have them. They're like dirty socks. Everybody has them, and they all stink, right? I could have said other things, but I was nice. We know what it's like to have restrictions on our health. We know what it's like to have restrictions financially. We know what it's like to have restrictions relationally. But wait a minute. When's the last time you subjected your spirit to a restriction for God to be glorified? When's the last time you said no to the flesh because in doing so, okay, when's the last time, don't answer this out loud, you slept in instead of read your Bible? When's the last time you refused to pray? When was the last time you refused to be kind when the Holy Spirit told you what you were supposed to do? We need to subject ourselves to the boundaries that the Holy Spirit has for us, because in those boundaries comes all of our freedom. That's what we don't understand. My pastor used to tell a story about the Chihuahua and the bulldog. And boy, he would do it perfectly. And he would say, in the backyard is a chain link fence. And on the borders of that property, the chain link fence ran in such a way that that little Chihuahua couldn't get out. But you know Chihuahuas. All they do is, So the little chihuahua was in the backyard one day, and down the alley in the backyard come Mr. Bulldog. And you know bulldogs, all they do is bull. And so the chihuahua's, and boy, he's prancing around. He knows that that bulldog cannot get in where he's at. So because of that, he has extra ego. Because of that, man, he is narcissistic. I mean, he is in trouble with all the pride because he is in the safe zone. And because he is, man, he is ready to show old Mr. Bulldog who's the boss. And the bulldog just sits there and slobbers. Because the bulldog says, the moment somebody leaves the gate open, the moment I get my chance, one bite, and I got a chihuahua taco. Yo quiero Taco Bell. Now, who is more free, the chihuahua or the bulldog? He can't get what he wants. The chihuahua has everything he wants unless he breaks a rule. The chihuahua is enjoying freedom and liberty. The bulldog walks away one day, and he's frustrated, especially as he walks away and the chihuahua barks one more time. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. You see, there's too many of us that want to go where God doesn't want us to go. We want to be what God doesn't want us to be. And in so doing, we think we're being mistreated. I want more of this. God, if you loved me, you would provide this for me. Before you know it, we get a bad spirit. And before you know it, we're away from God. God has given us a beautiful place in our relationship with him to live and grow and breathe and flourish. So much of our humanity says, I'm not happy. I want something different. I want something like the world has. Liberty comes with boundaries. The drunkard says, I have the right to drink as much as I want. What he is saying is, I have a right to be a slave to alcohol. The drug addict says, don't tell me what I can do. It's a free country. I remember hearing that all the time when I was growing up as a teenager. Free to do whatever I want. Go ahead, and you become a slave to drugs, and then you see how free you are. When a man or woman without morals says, I want to be free to pursue any man or woman I want to, they become a slave to passion. Galatians 5:5 tells us that through the Spirit and by faith, we enjoy freedom. We accept what God has given. We learn that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That doesn't mean you like Florida better than you like New York. If you're smart, you do, but it doesn't mean that. Or Pennsylvania or Ohio, I understand. We understand what the Lord's saying. So speed limit saves lives because the restrictions have benefits. Liberty comes with boundaries. Lastly, liberty comes after brokenness. This is really hard to even talk about. But you will walk in the Spirit more when you have the cracks exposed in your vessel. If the light is on the inside, and God wants to let your light so shine so that others may see what's inside of you, in order for that to happen, you and I are going to be broken. So that light which is inside is going to shine out. Now, God will never break your spirit, but he will humble your body. He will never destroy your soul. Only the soul that is destroyed in hell is those who do not have the light. God doesn't send his children to hell. They choose to reject him. Therefore, that is the reward for their lack of choosing him. But what happens to the Christian who doesn't accept God changing them, and they resist, and they fight, and they argue, and they fuss? God breaks them anyway. Does God have the right to do anything he wants with anybody at any time? Absolutely. We're his. We are clay in his hands. Liberty comes after being broken. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Wait a minute. He just said, the Holy Spirit, God, lives inside of me. And only when I am crucified will I experience this wonderful liberty that God has for me. Nevertheless, I live. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul says he was willing to make a trade. Paul said he was willing to trade his soul life for his spiritual life. Remember, the soul identifies with yourself. When you meet somebody who has some of the same likenesses, you say, man, you got soul. I feel you, baby. You think like I do. Man, that's pretty cool. Your ability to relate. So wait a minute. God wants to help us to relate to him. So he gave us his Holy Spirit, but we don't fully understand it until after we've been broken. Romans 8:13, the Bible says that if we live after the flesh, we'll die according to the flesh. But if we live according to the Spirit, we'll live spiritual and have the things that God wants us to have. So I got to be willing to die. Our souls are black, scarred with sin. Too many Christians attempt to fix themselves. Self-help books, counseling in a worldly environment, trying to fix themselves instead of just simply yield to the Holy Spirit. So what will the Holy Spirit do? He'll break open the soul and perform surgery on you. I think that's what we need. We need the healer. We need the great physician. And listen, not to fix our body. Preacher, are you saying we're not supposed to pray for each other? Oh, no, no, we're supposed to. But if you're praying more about the physical than you are the spiritual, you know where the problem is. Let the Spirit break you and release himself in you and fill you. Mary and Martha loved Jesus. One of them was cumbered about with much serving, and the other one realized that she had just a little time with Jesus. And she took the most precious thing that she had, and she took this little alabaster box. And in it was the most precious ointment in all the world, the most fragrant ointment in all the world. And as her sister was washing dishes and cleaning the floor and doing all the things that she was mad at her sister for not doing, she realized she wouldn't have him there much longer. And so as Jesus sat down, she went and broke the box, and the ointment spilled upon him. And she took her hair and wiped his feet and anointed him and loved on him. And Jesus said to the one who was cumbered about with much serving, he said, she's doing the right thing. You only have me for a little while. You'll have all these other people to serve for the rest of your life. Take the time to do the necessary thing now. But too many of us, we don't want to waste our money on Jesus. We don't waste our time. We don't waste our resources. Besides, God's got enough money. He's got enough time. They don't need me in the trunk or treat. Oh, yes, the church does. And God wants you to be broken and spilled out so that the beautiful aroma will set at liberty everybody who's around you. When they get near you, man, you're looking good. You're smelling good. You're doing good. Well, that's because of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I'm just telling you, there is liberty in serving Jesus because the Holy Spirit sets you at liberty, sets you free. There is bondage, even to a Christian who walks in the flesh. So put your sinful desires behind and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the Spirit. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, dear Lord,